Welcome to the Sports Circus here on Fox Sports 1340. How's everyone today?
Feeling like a champ. Just got out, shot out of a cannon, Sal. So, woo! I love these Saturday mornings.
I am your ringmaster and host, Sal Tozzolino, and I'm here with the Human Cannonball and some special guests today. Today's show is brought to you by the American Business Trust Company, specializing in helping companies start their goals, start their dreams, start from seed to acquisition, raising investment capital, sales and marketing strategy, all that fun stuff. They've been doing it for 25 years. Give them a call at 657-600-1876, 657-600-1876, or you can reach them at abtrustco, abtrustco.com. So now we got that out of the way. Tell me, Mr. Cannonball.
Yes.
You're wearing the Mickey Mouse hat again? You're killing me.
I have twins. They're little boys.
But that's one. Where's Minnie Mouse? I mean, don't you have two hats?
There's a special day for that hat, and the day's not it.
I don't know, man. Well, anyway, we do have some special guests in here today, and it's going to be a little bit different. You know, last week we had a Super Bowl winner on, which we've had several weeks now. But today we have a blue ribbon AKC dog training champion and handler.
Holy smokes.
Right, and we'll get to her in a few minutes, but holy crap, this is the circus. Remember, we talk about anything from barefooted ice hockey to cannonball bowling, underwater badminton, you name it. You could think it, even competitive food, you know, those food eating contests, right? As long as there's some competition involved, we're on it.
Pea spitting. What is it? Cherry pits? What do they do?
I did that in Door County, Wisconsin, back a year ago, September. They actually have, believe it or not, this is great stuff. I'm glad you're leading into this. So they actually have a range. You eat the cherries, and they have markers on the ground to see. They have a world champion cherry pit spitter.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Of course.
I've never seen anything like it.
It was the stupidest
thing.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Hey, who's got the marker? Well, afterwards, we'll get some cherries. We'll just lay it out there. I'll spit a darn pea pit further than you and the cherry pit, too.
I don't know, man. I think that I ended up in 498th place. I'm not really sure, but
I just eat the seeds and the cherries, so it's all good.
Right. They have the best cherry pie. They have cherry everything. It's incredible. Yeah. Wow. Pit spitting contest, believe
pit
it or not.
Pit spitting contest. Say that 100 times.
I can't. I can't even spit one 100 times.
Well, you know.
So you had a funny story you were telling me about earlier. Why don't you tell me about it?
You know, I'm from Central Texas, and, you know, the whole UT and A&M, and I'm going to say it, folks. Johnny Manziel. Football.
He's back in it again?
You know, he knows how the world sees him, and now he finally... He agrees with the world's perception. Johnny Manziel admits, I'm a douchebag. He said it. He had a Twitter storm on Thursday. Manziel admitted that he hasn't been a model citizen and that he thinks his bad behavior has been limited to the last 12 months. He basically says, quote, no lie, I was a douchebag in 2016. I just want to be a good person again. The unemployable quarterback tweeted, you know, this guy hasn't played in the NFL in a year.
He's going to play again. He's going to clean his act up. He'll be right in the middle of it.
God bless him. He's alluding to a 12-point program, and God bless anybody who's, you know, taken a step towards sobriety. But he took the opportunity, and he said, hey, this whole rumor that I'm going to be selling my autograph at the Super Bowl, he goes, that's absolutely, like, crazy talk. And then the official quote from the company is, Johnny Manziel will not be doing any free photographs at the event. So there's a little contradiction. Maybe he's not quite sober enough to realize he's selling his selfies for 50 a crack at the Super Bowl.
Well,
that's,
you know,
what's in writing.
The Sports Circus is going to have a little presence down there on the third. Actually, no, it's the Thursday before the Super Bowl. There's something called the Super Bash. And some friends of ours and the Sports Circus have teamed up to bring one hell of an event. The biggest names in music are going to be there, from pick your favorite hip-hop artist, from Snoop Dogg to whoever. I don't know.
Wow, how about your favorite cannonball shooter?
Yeah,
about him?
No, the favorite cherry pit spitter? No, he's not going to be there.
I got to hold the fort down, folks. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you've got the kids. You know. Do what you got to do, kid.
Yeah, you put them in the overbin, you know?
Yeah, they won't let you in anyway because of the Mickey Mouse hat.
Well, that's the place for it.
So speaking of Mickey Mouse, so here we go. We have the McGregor-Mayweather the saga continues. And now Mayweather, of
the
course.
The saga?
Yeah, right, exactly. So Mayweather, he's talking smack as usual because he doesn't want to get hit. So all he wants to do is he wants to talk a little crap. And then he calls out Conor McGregor again. It was about a week ago. And he was saying something about, well, oh, that's just too much money for them. They're not used to making that kind of money. He makes, you know, $25 million a round, some crazy number. Doesn't matter. But anyway, so McGregor tweets back, and here's a quote in his tweet. He says, call me C.J. Watson. And I believe I read this on, must have been either CBS Sports or something to the effect. Nonetheless, the quote was, for those wondering, Watson, that would be C.J. Watson, is an NBA point guard currently playing for the Orlando Magic, who Mayweather can accuse of sleeping with the mother of his three kids. Oops.
I live in this town, South. No comment.
Right. Well, you know, of course, you know, Mayweather was later convicted of domestic abuse towards her in 2015 and spent a couple months.
Again, no comment.
Spent a couple of months behind bars. Well, big surprise, right? Big surprise. So here, those two are going at it back and forth. Dana White says, well, we'll give them $25 million apiece. So what? They should fight for nothing.
Wow.
They should fight for nothing and split the pay-per-view, the purse on that.
Well, you know, you got a point. There's a couple of things that I want to talk about real quick on that point. Why when he was fighting Pacquiao for his 49th win, was it this monumental, should I risk it? And now he's selling his... He's selling his religion for $25 million. I mean, it's his 50-0. If he doesn't win, people think that he's just going to win.
Look, at 49-0, he ought to just quit, walk away from the rim. He's already stolen millions and millions.
You double your money every 11 years in the stock market, no matter what.
Right. You know, he ought to just walk away, but now he's got to say, well, I need another $100-$300 million.
Well,
really?
Money's infectious, I guess. Once you learn the fine art of its acquisition, it's easy. I guess these guys just know how to make millions when they feel like it. I got this, though. How about Pacquiao? He's not in. He says, you know what, I'll fight Conor McGregor tomorrow.
Pacquiao just had a fight just the other day against some guy ranked 952nd. I don't know, some stupid number. You know, and it was a setup fight, as usual, because he wants to step in after or if McGregor doesn't fight, because that's the only thing that is going to bring Mayweather out of retirement. Really? Oh, what are they going to do? Run around the ring again and hug each other and kiss each other and say, oh, thanks, we just made $250 million apiece.
Well, boxing has gotten real narrow and real thin, and I think the real boxers aren't getting their due anymore. The guys who are in the gym every day, the guys who are doing what they got to do, trying to get noticed, you know, it's kind of separated itself. I think Vince McMahon has a lot to do with influencing boxing that's going on today, and I'll just leave it at that. And that guy is about wrestling, and wrestling is about entertainment, not about sport.
Yeah, boxing.
Well, this sport's in
boxing
it.
At this point is not boxing. They need a little bit of whoosh, whoosh, you know, a little bit of that. So they can get somebody would have a little bit of blood going down their cheek. You know, that's why I like the MMA. I like to see blood splatter, and I don't like to see guys running away from one another. Think about this. Chew on this one for a minute. If McGregor and Mayweather are in the ring, you know, Mayweather's just going to dance around the ring the whole time. But McGregor's going to walk at him and walk at him and walk at him. Say, you go ahead and tie yourself out running around, little girl. Let me hit you just once. Just once. It's like a wrecking ball. Wham! Right in the head.
Well, I would say that I wouldn't want to be hit by either one of them, but if I had to, I'd probably take a punch by the boxer. Just think of it this way.
Well, he's got pillows on his hands.
If you've got three different sports or 20 different sports you've combined for MMA and one for boxing,
yeah.
Doesn't 20 beat one most of the time?
Yeah. Well, look. Bottom line is you got one guy with big pillows on his hands. You got another guy that's damn near bare knuckle.
We're going to pay and watch it all, Sal.
You're going to pay. No, I'm not paying.
Okay, you're just going to come to my house and watch it for
that's
free?
That's right. That's right. I'll buy pizza or whatever the hell I got to buy. I'm not paying for those clowns.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to pay for Ronda Rousey either, and they got my $130 both times she's lost. So.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Sports Circus on Fox Sports Radio 1340.
It's a business, Sal.
Listening to Fox Sports 1340, home to the Power Hour with Paul Howard, weekdays at 4 p.m.
Welcome back to the Sports Circus here on Fox Sports Radio 1340. We are here with a special guest, and that would be Donna Foreman. Donna Foreman, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been training dogs almost all my life, and I'm not going to tell you how many years, then you'd figure out how old I was.
Well, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you've accomplished in the dog training world? Because I had said at the top of the show that you were an AKC Blue Ribbon dog handling champion and trainer. I don't know what to say. There's got to be some pinnacle to this. I don't know. Why don't you tell everybody what that means?
That means that I have gone out on weekends and ran my dogs in agility. And AKC is kind of those premier dog events that everybody recognizes as AKC. We go out and have a great time.
What is AKC for all those people that don't know what it is?
American Kennel Club.
And what is that to the dog world?
That is the top of the dog world. There's other agility venues that people compete in, USDAA, NADAC, DOCNA. There's several other ones, but AKC is the most recognized.
So that's like the dog shows you see on television, the dog championship. Those are all AKC events, aren't they?
Yes, yes. So there's lots of different AKC titled sports, tracking, conformation, agility. There's a new one out called Barn Hunt, which is kind of exciting.
What the hell is Barn Hunt?
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great sport where you have bales of straw, and you have a rat contained in a very protective ventilated tube, and the dog, they hide this tube with this rat in it.
They're playing hide the rat?
It's kind of like that, yeah. Kind of like hiding a rat.
Right.
And the dogs have to search through the bales of hay and find the rat.
So with the agility course running, tell me a little bit more about that, because for the people that don't know what it is, I know what it is, but there's a lot of people that may be listening, maybe two or three, that have no idea what the dog agility training actually means.
Dog agility is pretty much a team event, you and your dog. It's very objective. You do it under time. It's a time sport. The dog jumps a certain height based on the dog's size, and you have to complete this course, which is numbered, correctly in the time allotted. And it's a blast. It's just a blast. If the dog makes a mistake, it's usually 99% of the time it's the handler's fault.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think I've seen a little bit of that in my past.
You're quite a handler yourself. You've
That would be a dog handler, yes, of course. Well, I've done that a couple times, in fact, at your classes.
Because
I know you've got trophies and ribbons everywhere. As far as the eye could see, you have people of all ages doing it from 13 years of age all the way up to old. Right?
Yeah, there are ladies that are in their 70s doing this successfully.
70s? Can they actually run and keep up with these dogs?
Some run better than others, but we specialize, I specialize probably, in distance handling, where the dog can be 30, 40 feet from me. I don't have to run right beside my dog.
No kidding.
And I can direct the dog around a course, probably 30, 40 feet. I don't have to run fast. I just have to be in the right spot at the right time to direct the dog over
so
the next agility course.
You're sort of like a conductor for an orchestra.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Huh. And I've seen that before, but I haven't. I've only seen. Strike that. One time at the last AKC event, I saw some lady from afar. It looked like she was flying an airplane, moving her arms left and right, or either that or just motioning the airplane to come into the terminal straight. That's kind of what it looked like.
Absolutely. The dogs follow verbal cues. Mm-hmm. My dog knows each equipment by name. And
really?
As long as I move and direct him with my hand and arm, he pretty much completes the course.
So he's running full speed, but yet he's looking over his shoulder, looking at you, and he hasn't smashed into anything yet?
No. But he listens to my voice, so if I tell him to jump over a jump, whatever's in front of him, he'll take. And if I say tunnel, he looks for the tunnel and goes into the tunnel.
Now, I've seen a dog in your class that it was basically a comedy of errors. He was the. It's just the best dog I've ever seen.
Juno.
It would be Juno, right? Juno is the funniest dog I have ever seen run your course. It is. It's an absolute train wreck. It smashes into everything. It knocks down the tunnels. It knocks down the ramps. It face planted the ramp last time I saw it. It was incredible.
And that dog loves it.
Just a happy dog. It's a pit bull, right?
Yep. And any dog can do this sport. It used to be AKC events were only for the registered AKC dogs. But now they will let any dog in there. They call them all Americans. And any dog can...
Well, thank God they're American.
I know.
We like that. So speaking of the young handlers that you've had in your classes, what's the youngest one you've had yet?
Probably I had a little boy that was 8 years old.
No kidding? Well, you know he can keep up with the dog.
That's true. That's right? True. Sometimes they're almost as big as the dog.
Well, you know, we have I believe a 13-year-old handler in here today, and her name is Savannah. Savannah, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Savannah, tell everybody about yourself and where you're from.
Sorry, I'm it's a bit okay. nervous.
She's nervous. The clock's ticking.
Well, I'm 14.
A 14? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oops, excuse me. I said 13. Sorry.
That's a big mistake.
That's a big mistake. Sorry.
Big mistake,
sorry, everybody. You know. Okay.
And I've been doing this for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. I started when I was 10. And I'm running my dog, Natasha. She's a smooth coat border collie. And
that dog is lightning fast.
Yeah.
I have never seen a dog, and I haven't been doing this very long, at least going to these events. This is the fastest dog I've ever seen that can run a course. But it's one of those things where you have to be 50 feet ahead of it, telling it which way to go, because it's so fast.
Exactly.
It would probably set a record for running the course the fastest out of most dogs that we've ever seen, if it actually was able to follow the turns and do everything without being so excited, right?
Yeah.
Very exciting to watch that dog. Now, I don't know what's more exciting, Juno's face plants or Tasha's speed. Because, you know, Juno gets into these scooting modes where it'll bounce off everything like a pinball. But your dog, Tasha, is just lightning. You know, and if you blink your eye or look the other way, hell, it's already three obstacles down the road.
Yep.
So how long have you been training Tasha?
I got her as a puppy when I was 12, and I've just been training her for 2 years by myself and with Donna's help, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Tasha's really easy to train, but she's takes a lot of patience and time. And sometimes I do get very frustrated with her when I'm training her.
Right. Well, you know, I think part of the frustration was like, well, hey, the dog's, 800 feet ahead of you. You know, it wants to do what it wants to do. And well, frankly, you just need either a jet pack on your back or roller skates or something to keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, Donna, what do you think about Tasha and her speed and Savannah's ability to handle this dog?
She's probably the best student I've ever had. And I've told her when she comes of age.
Big words from a very accomplished woman.
She's going to be a great trainer. If she can handle her dog, she'll be able to handle anybody's dog.
Really?
Yeah, she's outstanding. I got to say, though, you've got a nice little dog yourself that your wife handles.
Well, the little dog that is run through your course, there's a little Shih Tzu. It's not the fastest dog in the world. It's really happy.
She's a happy dog.
It's a very happy dog.
This is what we find out with most of these dogs. They're just happy to do it. You can't force a dog to do agility if they don't like it.
Right. Well, you know, when Lisa runs the dog through, the sun rises and sets behind her, of course. But when I'm running it through, all right, what are we doing? Where are we going? How fast are we going to go? I think what it likes the most is that I run it probably at twice the speed that Lisa does. That's my best guess. But other than that, I mean, she just basically tolerates me until she comes home.
That's probably true.
You know it is. I mean, come on. How many couples have pets, families have pets? And, you know, it's usually the husband or the wife or whoever the dog rises and sets behind. Usually the spouse or whomever is in second or third or fourth place in their lives anyway, right?
That's true.
That's just what happens.
The husband's definitely not the first place. It's the dog.
Well, I think he's here right now, and he's nodding his head yes, saying, yeah,
he
that's probably
that.
About right. Yeah, but so you've been training Tasha for 2 years thereabouts,
yeah.
Savannah? Right?
Yeah.
Now, you're also a student, obviously. How are your grades? You know, this is the student athlete spotlight, by the way. Of course, I didn't mention that, and I didn't mention that this segment was sponsored by Seattle Dan's Pizza, Pasta, and Grinders, located at 5115 West Sahara at Durango. Call in your lunch or dinner order at 702-946-6262. Mention the Sports Circus to get 10% off. Good pizza, good sandwiches, good fun. Sorry, Dan, I should have got you at the top of the segment. Anyway, so you're a good student.
Yeah.
Good. What are your favorite subjects?
Well, I think I have to say geometry right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so hard for me. Yeah. I was great in algebra, but I couldn't do geometry or trigonometry. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, geometry is really easy for me. I actually do a lot better than algebra.
Well, that's usually it. You're usually good at one or the other.
Yeah.
Right? So you fall into that set. I was on the other side of the moon. All right. So what do you not like?
There's not a lot of stuff I don't like in school. I'm homeschooled, so... Mm-hmm.
You notice I put private under the... on the website, on the sportscircus.com website, right? Mm-hmm. So that was nice. I really didn't know what to put, but I know you're homeschooled. And so that means you basically like all your subjects.
Yeah.
And you eat all your vegetables.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, God, I just can't do that. But anyway, that's great. So outside of the dog handling, tell me a little bit more about how you spend your free time with your schoolwork. Do you do any – are you involved in any other outside clubs or activities? Or tell us more about that.
Well, I do a robotics club.
Robotics club.
Yeah, Lego robotics.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see this? Now I saw this just the other day. There was a building, some remodeling company, whatever. They had these gigantic Legos where you can build walls inside your house.
I've seen that.
Did you see that? It's incredible. I couldn't believe that. I'm like, get the hell out of here. You know, and here's these Legos. They're probably about, I don't know, maybe 3 feet long,
yeah.
Maybe 2 feet high. And, you know, you build walls in your houses with them.
Exactly.
You kind of like that. Donna, what do you think?
I think that's wonderful.
What would you do with those?
I have no idea.
No, I think, you know what she would do? Is she would be building off a wall so your husband can't come in and bother you with your dog training. That's what's going to happen.
I could teach the dogs to jump over those Lego walls. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Well, then you'd have to.
We could use them as agility pieces of equipment.
Right. So you did mention that there was from AKC, and then there's these other organizations. What is the real difference between AKC, and then there's this one you mentioned called NADAC, and then maybe one other one? What is the difference between all of these?
There's not a whole lot of difference. They all run fairly similar. It's all a time sport. Very similar equipment. The difference is perhaps the pieces of equipment that they use. In NADAC, there isn't a teeter. There isn't
Oh, really?
A table. There isn't a tire.
Tell everybody what the teeter is.
It looks like a little teeter-totter, and the dogs have to go up this little teeter-totter, and it goes right down. And a tire looks like a tire, and they have to jump through it.
Mm-hmm.
A pause table is just that. It's a table that they have to jump on, and they have to wait 5 seconds, and the judge tells them to run.
Five and four and three and two and one. I finally did it to you. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Good job.
As you were.
Good job. You pay attention in class, don't you?
Of course I pay attention. Of course. Somebody has to.
You're kind of like an armchair coach.
Somebody has to. I know you tell me to shut up all the time, but too bad. Somebody has to direct the traffic. I don't know how to shut up. I can't. It's not in me. I've got a giant head. There's too much stuff going on in here, and I've got to spout it out somewhere. So I do it in your class.
We banter for the entire hour.
You know why?
Why?
Because we can.
That's true.
That's why, right?
That's true. Yeah. And I keep telling you to shut up, and you just don't.
No, I'm not going to. Now you're here on my show, and I don't want you to shut up. I want you to tell everybody what – okay, so you said – there's the AKC, and what I do know about AKC is they have jumbo ribbons,
yes.
Really cool ribbons.
They have really nice.
This NADAC thing that you mentioned, you get basically participation trophies for everything. You walk away from an event with 4,000 ribbons. Big
the
deal.
The reason you walk away with so many ribbons is there's more events to enter during the day. You can enter up to, what, seven events in one day. In NADAC, the most you can enter is maybe three or four. So you do walk away with more ribbons.
Yeah, but the AKC events, that's sort of the
probably
coveted,
more prestigious.
Right, that's the coveted ribbon. You don't want 4,000 of the other ones. I'd rather trade 4,000 for those for one of the real ones.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people that like the ribbons.
I don't know. Well, they like them, of course, then they can make quilts with them, right? Yeah, that sort of thing.
That's true. That's right. True.
But I think the real ones that matter. Savannah, would you agree the ones that really matter are the AKC ribbons?
I guess it depends. Sometimes,
please tell me more. I like
well,
that.
Sometimes the smaller ribbons mean a lot more because, like, when you do a run in NADAC, sometimes you're really proud of the run you do, and so the ribbon kind of reminds you that you did a really good job. And I guess a big ribbon looks really nice on a wall, but little ribbons do tell you a lot, I guess.
I stand corrected from the 14-year-old dog handler that knows a heck of a lot more than I do about this.
Let me say something about NADAC. NADAC, even though we have all these ribbons, you really do have to know how to run your dog at a distance because those courses are bigger courses, and they can sometimes be very challenging to someone that has a fast dog. You miss a jump or you miss a contact piece of equipment, you're done, right, Savannah?
Yeah.
Savannah knows. So do I.
Well, Savannah, how many events like this have you done since you've been training?
I think I've done maybe, when you say 10 maybe?
10?
Yeah, I do one maybe about once a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Donna, how many do you do?
Oh, I've been doing this for 15 years, so.
So you're saying 1,500?
Probably. No,
I'm just kidding.
No. I don't get out as much as I'd like to because I own Smarty Paws, and I'm there on the weekends rather than out trial and agility trials. But I love to teach it.
What is Smarty Paws?
Smarty Paws is the only indoor agility facility in Las Vegas, and I have two locations. One at Rancho and Craig, and the other one is on West Russell and Decatur.
What are their addresses?
The one on Rancho is 4161 North Rancho, and the one on West Russell is 4445 West Russell.
Congratulations. You got that right. So if somebody out there listening has a dog, and let's just say it's a disobedient dog, do you know how to handle that? Do you know how to train a dog like that to become more obedient?
Yes. We have basic obedience classes, but we also have what's very unique in this town is called boot camp, and it's day training where people that have dogs that have behavior problems or they just want the dog to be more social or walk on a leash, they can bring them for the day, and we've got expert trainers that will work with that dog during the day. They will get a report card on their dog at the end of the day.
Oh, geez, I don't want to think about report cards.
And the report card says what we've done with the dog, how the dog's responded, and we help the owner then work with the dog when they get the dog home so they keep the training up.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Savannah has another question for you. And she's just nodding her head like, no, please don't make me talk into the microphone. Oh, God, no, I got to go. No. Because we only have a couple of minutes left for the segment, Savannah, I figured if you wanted to ask another question, I know you know Donna, but at the same time, this is for everybody. This is for the listening audience of three that's hearing us right now, right? Because we have three people in here. That's basically all that's listening, okay? So is there anything that you want to ask her that, well, frankly, would help everybody? Because I know there's one person in here that certainly doesn't know about dog handling or obedience, or he doesn't know anything about obedience.
Yeah.
But anything in general. Right.
Yeah, dogs get time out, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Savannah's dog gets time out.
Yes, she does.
Every once in a while because she just kind of goes runs amok.
Yeah.
No, Juno runs amok.
That's true.
Every time it's on that course, it runs amok. And I love seeing Juno. It's just the best thing I've seen in there yet just because it's so reckless.
It's kind of like your circus, isn't it?
Right. Right. You know, we walk in here. Hey, who needs this? Who needs that? Who needs this? We've got 400 people in here. There's three chairs. Well, guess what? You know, what we don't have are grandstands for people to sit. And it's probably better that way, to be honest with you. But Savannah, any other questions, thoughts, concerns, ideas?
Donna, what would you say is the most important thing to remember when handling your dog?
Timing. Savannah and I both agree on timing.
Yeah,
you really have to call out the equipment far sooner than you think in order to give the dog a chance to think and perform the equipment, wouldn't you say? That's been the hardest part for anybody, especially Savannah, because she's got such a fast dog. She's got to really be thinking. And the fact that she likes geometry, agility is kind of like geometry, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Because you have to figure out angles and turns, and it's just fun. It's a thinking game. And most people that are in the agility world showing their dogs, they're women that are over the age of 40. They're empty nesters. So when your husbands are out on the golf course,
instead of having a bunch of cats, they have the dogs.
The kids are gone. Now they can do something with the dog. They can do something that they like to do.
No, I think that's a great idea. And you know, since we're on early in the morning, you know, some people that may be listening, they're not right now. Anyway, it's a little chilly out. But typically, they'd be out driving to an early tea time. And well, frankly, that's kind of how that works. And I get what you're saying. So I'll tell you what, we'll have both of you back at another time, and we're going to wrap this segment up, and I appreciate you both coming on.
Okay.
All right. And
thank you. Thanks for having us.
Listen,
that's great.
It's a pleasure. And everybody, you've been listening to Donna from Smarty Paws and Savannah, and we'll be back here at the Sports Circus in just about 1 minute.
1340, home to the Power Hour with Paul Howard, weekdays at 4 p.m.
Okay, we are back here at the Sports Circus on Fox Sports Radio 1340. And now we're going to switch to baseball. We have a special guest that just happened to call in. And, well, that's kind of fun and exciting. I didn't think Adam was going to call in. Adam Kennedy, are you there? Adam. Hello. Hello. Adam Kennedy. All right. We're just going to sit tight for just a second because I believe we do have Adam Kennedy on the line. Adam, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Hey, nice to have you on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. You know, you're talking with me, your ringmaster and host, Sal, and we have the Human Cannonball.
Hello, Adam. Good morning.
The Human Cannonball, huh?
The Human Cannonball, right.
And it's for real.
It's for real. He's built like one. He's got a Mickey Mouse hat. Well, frankly, it should be. His helmet should be a Mickey Mouse hat, but whatever the case.
You're a big hit at all the pool parties out there, huh?
Let's just say when I get in the pool rises.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine, you know, when someone actually does the cannonball. Well, this guy, it's the cannonball doing the cannonball. It could get a little scary, I'll tell you that much.
Just call me anything but late for dinner.
Right. Well, hence the cannonball, right?
So what's going on in Vegas sports these days?
What's going on in Vegas?
Is there a new team or anything?
Well, you know, we've got our Raiders are going to be moving here.
Rumor has it.
I love it. It's great.
I love it too, man. I'll tell you what. The Raiders coming here only solidifies all the traffic that comes up Interstate 15 from Southern California. 9 out of 10 visitors to Las Vegas come from there, and you know how many are Raider fans?
I'm calling the light rail. They're going to put a train in here.
The light rail would be awesome. I will tell you that.
But the cannonball can't go on the light rail because remember we just had the pool discussion.
Blowing that thing down a little bit.
Wow.
just a little
Adam.
Bit.
Wow.
Well, you know, it is what it is, right? Call a spade a spade.
That's right.
Right.
Wow.
So anyway, so no, the Raiders are going to come here. And I think that the season ticket restrictions, because, you know, on the hockey team, we have a 5-year commitment, and I'm a season ticket holder for our Vegas Knights. And I think the same restrictions are going to be put on for the Vegas Raiders as well.
When you say restrictions, what does that mean?
Well, we had to commit to 5 years for the season tickets, right. And let's face it, you know, the stadium will more than likely be built on the side of the Ballyhigh Golf Course adjacent to the Mandalay Bay. And I think what will end up happening is the stadium's going to be built. There's going to be the monorail is going to be extended to the stadium, and then you'll see that same rail extended into the airport. Just like most modern cities, Adam, I'm sure you've traveled quite a bit around the world. You know, the U.S. is so far behind in transportation logistics, it's embarrassing.
Right. I mean, yeah, and why is that? I don't know why. But if you're having a rail take you right to the stadium, to the airport. I mean, being from California, I mean, I would be there all day long, whether it's the speed rail or just a flight and a train trip you know, to the front door of the stadium, I'd be doing it all day long.
Well, right. I mean, Adam, going to where you played, I mean, of course, you have the Amtrak, you know, literally across the street from the parking lot, which is a great setup. It really is. And, you know,
go ahead. It is. And we use it from Anaheim to San Diego.
Oh, the coaster.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great. It's great. Useful, and it's great. It's only broke down on me a few times.
Right. And let me guess, that was around Oceanside?
Absolutely.
Right. Well, that's because the yard is over there. So, Adam, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? I mean, I certainly know about what you have done, but for all those people, I think there's three or four listening, tell everybody what you've done.
Oh, I've been fortunate enough to have a great Major League Baseball career, and now just kind of my next step of just – I love sports, so I've just been talking about sports lately, getting on a few radio shows. I'm not really sure where it's going to take me or if I'm going to stay in it, but I've been fortunate enough to just have a great baseball career, meet a lot of great people, and I love sports. So for a kid that grew up playing sports and watching sports, to be able to live that fantasy and play in the major league for you know, some time, was the dream come true, and definitely blessed to be able to you know, enjoy that.
So what are the highlights of your career from your standpoint? I mean, look, we all know that you won a World Series in Anaheim, right?
Yes, yeah, so obviously that's definitely the number one.
Right. By the way, I was at game one out in the left field stands watching you.
Well, great. That was. I don't think that was a very good game for us. I think we lost that game.
That's correct.
But
you're correct.
The series was great.
I was actually rooting for the Giants, I'll have you know. Sorry, man. It is what it is.
Were you holding the ticket, Sal? Be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm just playing.
I think about as many people watch that series as many people are listening to your show. So,
right. No, it was a packed house. No, it was great.
It was a lot of fun.
To be a part of that from your side, I mean, look, it was exciting from sitting in the seats. I can't even imagine sitting in the field or being in the dugout.
It was great. I mean, especially being from California, two California teams, we weren't really expected to be that type of team that year. That was the year Oakland won like 20 in a row.
Right.
So, you know, they had pretty much the Moneyball.
Yeah, that was the Moneyball. That was the Moneyball episode, right? You know, when you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Billy Beane had the team rolling, then they, you know, kind of choked at the end.
They made a movie about that. It was so big, right?
That's what we're talking about.
We were kind of waiting at the airport to go to Oakland or to Minnesota for the ALCS.
Uh-huh.
And we were just waiting at the airport for that series to end. We would have had a much tougher matchup facing Oakland than going to Minnesota. So Minnesota won that series. We were a little bit, I don't want to say relieved, but I think we thought we had a better matchup than we did.
You know, how many ball players?
Thank you.
You know, Adam, how many ball players actually admit just what you did? Well, you know, we were kind of relieved that the other team didn't win, because usually the answer is, well, we don't really care who we play.
We'll beat anybody.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, to think you can go in and beat, you know, Zito, Hudson, Mulder in a seven-game series, because two of those guys are going to throw twice.
Right.
Maybe even all of them.
Yeah, Barry Zito was at the top of his career then, too.
Mulder was probably the best in my eyes.
Really?
He was really good. He had the best stuff by far.
Yeah, he was filthy.
Injuries kind of killed him shortly after that, but he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
They had Tejada Chavez at the top of their game. So of course, I'm not afraid to say that at all, but we were just, it was kind of fun just sitting there watching the game and kind of getting a little more excitement going to Minnesota, kind of thinking we had a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, but the Angels had Adam Kennedy, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Right? Well, that must have been really exciting. And so after that, I think you went to St. Louis, didn't you?
I went to St. Louis. I went to Seattle. I went to Oakland. Oakland was probably my favorite place to play other than Anaheim and L.A. with the Dodgers. But Oakland, I loved playing in Oakland.
Why?
It was a freaking dump.
Yeah, it still is a dump.
It was fun to play at. It was like a Friday night football game with the drums in the outfield. It was It was a good time. And I had a good year, so that always helps.
Right. Well, the field was treacherous, wasn't it?
It's horrible, but it was great.
Eastbound and down. That's what it was.
Right. It's like playing on one of the old playgrounds from back in the day, right?
Yeah, and once football started, you know, you get to the field and they're barely getting the game off by 7 o'clock.
Right.
Changing the football field to the baseball stadium, but the whole—I mean, half the time you can't shower at the freaking place. But it's fun place to play at.
Well, you know, the same thing. Now, I grew up in Chicago, and Wrigley Field is an absolute crap hole underneath. You know, it's glorious on the outside. Yeah, it's an absolute sewer.
You've been holding it all in today, Sal.
They ought to bulldoze that crap hole, move that team up to Milwaukee or Indiana or something. I'm a White Sox fan. Sorry, I can't help it. for the life of me, here are...
They won, Sal. Give it to
our esteemed board operator shaking his head. He's from the north side of Chicago and just shaking his head saying,
They won.
So what? They won. They bought their...
100-something years. I mean, I'm never going to let it down, man. They won, Sal.
It took an act of God for them to win.
Okay. They won.
They won. Yeah, whatever.
It took Theo Epstein.
He speaks. You brought him out of the doldrums.
It took Theo Epstein.
It took an act of God.
He had Boston and the Cubs win. He's either the greatest GM of all time or he sold his soul to the devil.
I think it's the latter.
I'm going with the devil.
I'm saying the latter. Because for the Cubs to win, let's face it, they faced a 1, a 4, and a 5. Adam, you know this as well as I do. I mean, let's face it, Bauer is not a starting pitcher. He's not. He's not even a 5 on anyone's staff.
Yeah, going into that series, that was going to be the one thing with Cleveland. Were they going to be able to, their starting pitcher to hold up? I mean, Chicago got lucky. They should have lost San Francisco, but
I know
San Francisco had no bullpen, which is really ridiculous considering they didn't have a bullpen the whole year and they didn't get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trade deadline. You know, Cubs traded for Chapman. Probably could have got Kenley Jensen at the time. You could have gotten somebody to trade in the deadline, maybe not Jensen, but McCallum for went to Washington. But you had a hole in the bullpen, and it cost you a trip to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Cleveland Indians, you know, clearly outplayed the Cubs in that series. They really did. And let's face it, when you've got a 1-4-5 against 1-4, you know, it's just not fair. But then again, that's the game. It is what
it
is.
Did you just say fair?
It is what it is. It doesn't matter, right? I mean,
it's baseball. There's the fair. The one who wins at the end with the most runs and the game's over wins.
There's a chance they could face each other again. I mean, because both teams are going to be built to be there again this year.
I like the pickup. Yeah, more so. I like the pickup of Encarnacion. And I got to tell you, Adam, one of my least favorite players on that Cleveland team, even though he's sort of a favorite amongst the fans and amongst some of the teammates, Mike Napoli, you know, former Angel. And I'm just
my boy, that hurts my heart. Right
I'm
there.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry, but you know what? He's hitting about .152 in the postseason his career.
He did scuffle down the stretch in the postseason. He really did. He'll be the first to tell you that. But
he left a lot of guys on base.
He had 100 RBIs, so you can't crucify the guy too much.
But that's the A-Rod thing. That's the A-Rod thing. You know, A-Rod's a great regular season player, but, you know, come the postseason, you know, Mike disappeared.
Look, a lot of those power hitters are built on murdering average pitching throughout the year.
Right.
Well, in the playoffs, there's not much average pitching.
Right. Well, you know, the Cubs, in my opinion, you know, they made the right moves. They certainly made the right moves. And, you know, as Ballpark Frank said, you know, they had Theo Epstein, you know. But
I believe they bought the victory, Sal. We all know it. Come on, I'm going to lay it up for you. Here's a softball. They bought it, man. Money did it. Nobody did anything. They just paid and they won.
You're right. Absolutely. That's how I feel.
If you want to know the absolute truth, the Cubs probably won the World Series because of the stupid All-Star game thing with the home field advantage. Because they got to use a designated hitter and they played more games in Cleveland, that actually played to their advantage.
That's
they lost the games
point.
At Chicago at Wrigley Field.
That's a fantastic point because that means, what's his name? Schwarber. Schwarber got to hit in 4 games. And Schwarber was a wrecking ball. Not to be confused with the cannonball.
He was an impact in the lineup. That was an impressive feat in itself. You know, not playing all year and coming for the, and making an impact in the lineup in the World Series for a young player, that was pretty impressive.
Everybody wants a Schwarber on their team. I mean, really. I mean, come on. The guy, he looks like the polar opposite of a cancer in the clubhouse. I mean, this is a guy that knows how to do it. His teammates seem to love him. I don't know. I'm not in there with him. But it seems like the fans dig him. The teammates dig him. He's that guy. What do you think?
Well, fans and players, you know, they pretty much dig anybody that performs well.
Right?
Unless you're A-Rod, you're such a dick that everybody chases.
Right. Yeah, well... Yeah, and a lot of fans, I would say a lot of fans don't like him. But you know what's kind of funny? Is watching him and Pete Rose having a little banter.
They aren't bad at all. They sort of, I feel bad for Frank. They pretty much leave him off to the side. But Alex and Pete, they are pretty good with that show.
It's kind of fun to watch those two. I love Pete's bow tie. You know? The bow tie is so Pete. It really is. I'm telling you, it's
a Vegas guy. You guys get him in there, Mark?
You know what? I'm getting him on the schedule. I've already talked to his person a couple of days ago. In fact, hopefully we'll be able to get him in here. Yeah. So if not, you're going to have to make a phone
call.
Charlie
Hustle.
Can you make that call?
You're talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
No, me and Pete aren't that tight. I wish. I'd love to hang out with Pete.
Well,
I'll be in Vegas next week. Maybe I'll give him a call.
Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you sneak on in here, and we'd love to have you here in the sports circus.
That sounds great to me.
I got a question. Savannah is a homeschooled student athlete. We asked what her favorite subject is. She said geometry. She's going to go out and do some amazing things in this dog agility. As an athlete, what's the one thing you could share with Savannah today to help her obtain her goals of greatness, which isn't on the football or baseball field? It's going to be for dog training.
Dog training.
Right.
I mean, dog agility.
She's an athlete.
She's the best dog trainer in the entire world that day. I mean, just the repetitiveness of being great that day. I don't know really what goes into the dog training, but
Adam, that's a knuckle curve coming at you.
Well, it's about being a champion.
Yeah, it's basically.
Savannah, tell us about it.
Well, it's. Yeah, it's about patience and time, and basically you just need to work with your dog and be a team and be basically come as one and just run on the course and try not to get killed.
It's sort of like being in that 6-4-3 combination and making sure that all four of those three numbers are working together.
Good analogy right there.
There it is.
I'm curious about your best triple play. Did you ever pull one?
Never was on either side of one.
Really? Well, there you have it.
But have you been in a game?
Never a no-hitter, never a triple play.
Really?
On either side.
Well, I'll tell you what. Adam, you're going to be in here next week. You're going to be in Vegas. Why don't you pop in here and visit the sports circus with us?
All right. That sounds like a good idea to me.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap this up right now because we're running on time also. And, you know, what I did want to mention real quick is, you know, there was a Hall of Fame voting, and, of course, we had Bagwell Reigns and Ivan Rodriguez in there. Give me your 10-second on who belongs in there outside of one of those three guys.
Vlad and Hoffman should have both been on. And if you're going to put Pudge and Bagwell, who are steroid-ish type era guys, why aren't Bonds?
Right. Bonds and Clemens. That's exactly what I was thinking. I got in the same discussion yesterday. Well, hey, Adam, thanks again for popping in here, and we'll certainly be talking to you next week.
Okay.
On behalf of everybody here at the Sports Circus, the Human Cannonball, Donna from Smarty Paws, Savannah from driving all the way out about an hour plus away, congratulations on making it here safe, and hopefully you have a safe drive home. Until next week, join the circus, and we'll see you soon. This is Sal, your ringmaster, saying you were listening to the Sports Circus on Fox Sports Radio 1340.